Welcome to Deckheads, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to Deckheads with your hosts, Nick and Anna. Broadcasting from the bottom of the boat, below deck.
Ooh, I'm horny.
All yacht talk all the time.
I'm having a party.
We're shoveling coal to keep this show afloat.
I love cocaine.
We're off the map in international waters.
I need some drama, me.
Hide that cocaine.
Never.
In my nose.
Just so you know, I'm in an open relationship.
Below deck.
Woo!
Below me.
What?
Deckhead.
Hey, Nick.
Hi.
Oh, okay, that's the energy you're bringing. I'm usually the one that's quiet.
No, it's me. I have no energy today.
Oh, why?
I used it.
What?
I used it.
You used it already?
Yeah.
Okay. Contractually, you're not allowed to use your energy before the show, contractually.
Sorry, I went on a hike. I'm tired.
Oh, you are sunburned.
Hold on. Hold on. Woo-hoo, wait, hold on. Okay. Yeah, buddy, wait a second.
I'm waiting.
Hold on, I'm getting a second wind.
I'm waiting.
Oh, Anna.
No, like I'm waiting.
Anna. I'm back, baby. What up?
Hey, wow. Okay.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? Chilling.
You chilling?
Ready to party and talk.
Wow.
So, yeah. Back. Ready to fuck these hoes on the boat.
You know what? This is an exciting time for me because I've never been able to witness a white man get his energy so quickly.
I don't get it, but I'm going to let it pass because I don't know what the hell's going on with anybody.
Let it pass.
Let it pass. Let it pass.
Yeah.
Let it pass, let it pass.
Oh, la, 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 la.
That's it. That's the next lyric.
La, 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 la.
Yep, can't fool you.
All right. So, guys, we are here to talk about Below Deck, Season 6, Episode 11.
Yeah, Episode 11, man. These things just keep on churning away, and we got into it. We saw drama today like we have never seen on this show, and it had me a little shook, and honestly, I got a little, I would say, bleary-eyed.
Bleary.
I don't want to say I cried, because I don't think anyone would have called it that.
Yeah.
I think I got a little bleary-eyed.
Oh, you. Okay, well, yes. So, if you guys recall from the last episode, we had a bit of an incident involving Ashton being pulled into the water. That happened at the end. So his foot basically gets caught on the line and he's dragged in as they were releasing the tender to be towed behind.
All that clip showed me last time was that he had gotten dragged into the water. I didn't know there was any more danger.
What?
I didn't know there was any more danger. I didn't realize he may lose his foot and then bleed out. And they wouldn't be able to get to him to rescue him and he would die. I didn't know that.
Interesting. Well, anyway, we continue with that incident. So Ashton's being pulled off the boat because, like I said, his foot got caught in the line that was connected to the tender. And the boat was going forward. And basically, my understanding is, the tension is so strong of like a boat pulling another boat that his foot caught in the middle of that rope could, rip his foot off, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It could sever his foot off.
So
his
then
leg.
they release him in time, but not before the rope becomes taut. And so he does get injured.
Right. It pulls on his leg, but we learn that the cameraman Brent put the camera down. We kind of see it happening. We see the footage of the camera going down.
You think he got a cut? I mean, I know later because Ashton couldn't do any work for this next charter. He tries to give his tips away.
Yeah.
Do you think he should have just given the tips to the cameraman? Fuck everybody else. only one person got your back. Actually, Ross got your back too, because that's a bromance like we have never seen on this show.
Yeah, Ross was shook, but he had to untie the line from the yacht so the tension basically wouldn't cut his foot off. So once released, mm-hmm. then the tender's able to like float away and not yank back on the yacht on the line, which Ashton's foot was in. But I guess it was, you know, it was key because they were like, you know, if it had severed his foot, no one would have been able to get out to him in time. He would have just bled out in the water and like drowned and died. And also like it could have easily pulled him under, you know, it was a really bad situation. So anyway, everyone, as soon as he gets pulled off, Riley is like, man overboard, but like a little too calm, you know, like man overboard. It's like, okay, well, he could die. And the guests see...
Yeah, she's like, Ashton's swimming, y'all.
Yeah. The guests see, and they're, like, freaked out, because they're like, wait, what's going on? What's going on? And, of course, like I said, the camera guy, Brent, drops his camera, grabs the line, helps Ashton. After Ashton is able to loosen him, basically get the line off his foot, they have him swim to the tender, just get in the tender, and he's okay. He survives. The guests were very scared for him. Like, I think everyone on the boat is pretty shaken. Riley says Ashton owes the cameraman Brent his life because he didn't hesitate for a second.
That's not for you to say.
And saved his life. Yeah, well, anyway.
Oh, no, Ashton said. Well, Riley said it too.
No, yeah, Riley said that.
I got offended when Riley said it because it's like, Riley, you're the reason he almost died because you didn't do anything.
Well, she said, man overboard.
She had the same energy as I did at the top of the show.
Yeah. Hey, guys, so sorry to bother you, but man, overboard.
I used up all my energy yelling at Ross for no reason, so I don't have any more to save Ashton's life.
So sorry.
It's Chandler all over again. It's a person above me, and I have to yell at them.
There is a man overboard. Like,
yeah, it's like, I mean, he was here, but no, he's
yeah,
like...
Yeah, so you know how it goes. You know these
guys,
things.
What are you guys up to?
So man is, in fact, overboard.
Yeah, what's up? What are you guys doing this weekend?
You know, just like man overboard.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, I'll see you later.
And that's the energy. So everyone's shaken, but they get back to work. And Captain Lee calls Ross to the wheelhouse to talk to him about what happened. And they believe that, and they think that Ashton stepped on the line to clear the cleat and it wrapped around his ankle in the process. And Captain Lee says that was a very stupid plan. And they were 30 seconds away from Ashton dying. And Captain Lee is very upset. He says Ashton could have died. He would have had to call his parents and tell them that their son is dead. And he isn't sure how he would do that, how he would make that call. And he's like, I have children. Like, I can't imagine that. And then he gets up from his ITM because he says he needs a minute and he's very emotional. And my God, it's the most humanizing moment I've ever seen of Captain Lee. I was like, oh, finally, you've shown us that you're human. You have, like, you're not all just, like, straight business. Get to work. No bullshit. Don't fuck with me. I'll send you home right away. It's like, no, he's a human being. And that...
You know what he should have said? This is what I wish he'd said. If only he'd just said this. And before I'm done yelling, I want to say... Riley, you're fine. Riley, go home. Riley, you got a plane ticket to go.
You wanted him to fire Riley.
Yeah, but I wanted him to do a real nonchalant. There's a man overboard. You have to go from mine back to us.
So, like,
Alaska.
Give her the same energy that she was giving us for man overboard. Yeah.
Anyway, when something really drastic happens, like someone goes overboard or gets fired, I want the same amount of energy.
God. Before anyone ever commented on it, I myself was like, she is acting quite calm for how severe the situation feels. Because at first when she was like, man overboard, I was like, oh, it's not that big a deal? Or is it? Like, I can't gauge based off her energy. Mm. Yeah, well, Kate says that they don't want people to know how dangerous the job is because it's scary. And Ashton got very lucky. And Ashton says he's okay, but his ankle's very fucked up. But he has to stay and drive the tender for the time being. And Ross is shaken, and he says it puts everything in perspective, and he just wants to hug Ashton and slap him at the same time for stepping on that line and almost risking his life. And the guests are finally sitting down for lunch, and Adrian wants to distract them from the morning's drama with his food. And good luck, man. That was a traumatizing for everyone. Imagine if you're on a yacht and, like, one of the crew members drowns. Like, And in like also a horrifying way, like his foot is severed and he bleeds to death while you guys are all watching. I can't even imagine. Like, this is, I don't know, man. That's some shit. That's not a reality show. I think the show would get canceled, in my opinion. You really can't move forward from that.
I have good news, though.
What?
He's fine.
Oh, thank God. Well, anyway, they get Ashton back on board, and Ross gives him a big hug, and his ankle's really fucked up, so he goes to lay down, and Adrian brings some ice, and they talk, and Ashton says it was the scariest thing he's ever gone through, and he should have never been on the water side of the line. And he says it was this intense force that he's never felt before. And he was truly like mentally preparing for his foot to be ripped off. And he figured he would just bleed out in the water because no one could get to him in time. Like, he was just like getting prepared to die mentally, which is, it's fucked up. Captain Lee comes and checks on him, and he tells him not to focus on how, or excuse me, he tells him to focus on how lucky he was versus how he fucked up, because he's alive. They made it this far. They can deal with the rest later. Laura comes in, the new Stew.
She has a nice little break. I saw they gave him some painkillers. He's probably chilling. Everybody was like, you know, chef was feeding him nice. You know, the ladies come in, coo over him. This is the best day he's had.
Right. Well, Laura comes in with all her annoyingness to check on Ashton. She says like, yeah,
but it's not annoying when you have a boner.
Okay, sure. It's annoying for us because she's like, yeah, like, it feels like a lot of corners are cut on this boat. It's like, does it feel like that, Laura?
Yeah, I'm usually used to higher standards, but because I saw a stain on one of the tables, I'm not going to work at all. I'm going to, for some reason, not do anything that I know how to do.
I don't know. She just takes every opportunity to, like, dig at the boat. And it's like, dude,
well, if everyone comes on this boat and is like, man, Kate, you're really mean girling me, you know, it's possible she is mean girling them. Thoughts? Yeah. Accusations?
I mean, no. I mean, like, she's definitely, in some sense, being a bitch. Like, she's being kind of snide and shitty. And I feel like she's trying, I don't know. She just came in so defensive that, like, it's like she's mad that she took like a third Stew position, but like, you know, you took that position because you just wanted to be on fucking reality TV. So quit bitching and just do the job.
Yeah.
But maybe she knows that in order to like get that screen time, she kind of has to act a fool a little.
I don't think there's any sort of evil genius vibe I'm getting here.
True. All right. Well, the guests are enjoying their day and playing with water toys, and Adrian tells Kate what Laura said about the corners being cut on the boat. Dude, Adrian is also a messy bitch. I'm sorry, but if you tell Adrian something, he will turn around and tell the person that you're talking shit about. It's very absurd.
Well, he's the one with all the secrets because he's the one that's always in the galley. So he knows everything. It's not his fault. He just has too much information. It falls out. Good point, Nick. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the galley is land of the secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Valid point. Well, yeah, Adrian tells Laura or Kate what Laura said about corners being cut, and Kate thinks she has a lot of opinions, and she thinks that if she was a good Chief Stew, then she would put herself in Kate's position and wouldn't come in so hot. And I just want to say, I said that exact same thing in the last episode, not about putting herself in Kate's shoes, but the fact that she shouldn't come in so hot. Just casually what smart. I said.
Smart dog.
Because I do believe in respecting.
You're a smart dog.
Where you're at and not trying to take over a place that you just arrived at. Anyway, unless it's a Zoom call, then I come in real hot. I'm like, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up? This is Big Anna D. Yeah. It always goes over well.
It's not a great nickname.
It always goes over well. Okay.
Okay.
Josiah says that he worked on deck before. I guess he used to be a deckhand in a previous life. And he says he's heard horror stories. And everyone wants to just make sure that Ashton is okay. And so he brings him dinner to his room. And a doctor comes on board to check on Ashton. And we learn his ankle is not broken. He just needs to ice it and take it easy. And of course, he makes the doctor blush. And he like smiles at her and he's like, thanks for coming out. And she's like, oh. Of course.
I will not go back.
Yeah. I will stay here forever. And
is there like a place below deck I can hang out?
And we're like, oh, man.
Oh, I got to scoot over.
Nick and I were both competing for Ashton's dick. So it's tough for us to have a third person that we have to compete against. May the best D win. But the doctor basically offers to have her back be the place that he puts his ankle to elevate it after she falls in love with him. And then she gives him painkillers so he can rest on top of her. Laura says that she may have shot herself in the foot by taking the third stew role and hasn't done turndown service in a long time and forgot how mundane the third stew position is. But she says the bar is set so low on this yacht, it doesn't matter. And it's like, stop, you bitch, stop. Just do your job. Anyway, guests are having dinner. They love the food, but they're not happy that there's chicken on their plate. And they keep saying that.
Look, I admit this is incredible. What? However, I don't like this.
What?
Is what they said.
Yes.
That's what
they're like,
about
the food is so delicious, but then they say chicken.
Obviously, the food is incredible. Hey, 5 stars.
Yeah.
However,
chicken is for poor people. That's what they said.
Chicken is for poor people.
I mean,
that's not like a likable thing to say.
No.
What would you say?
No, I would argue you should never say anything is for poor people so you don't have to eat it or enjoy it. It's like the most gross, classist fucking bullshit thing to say. Like, they're like, poultry? It's like, I'm sorry, y'all don't look like a classy bunch anyway. Like, shut the fuck up.
I bet if he had made like, if he just put it down and be like, this is Coco Van, they'd be like, oh, French.
Mm-hmm. But they're like,
even though that's chicken.
I could have chicken at home. Okay. Well, have you ever had chicken made this way?
You could have chicken at home? Please do.
Yeah. It's also like, they also just almost watched a man die and that didn't put anything in perspective for them. Go fuck
yourself. I hope coronavirus has given them a lot of time to reflect.
Sam's.
In their reflecting bowl.
Sam's, you know, Sam's. And so anyway, they asked for seafood and Adrian's like, okay, if you don't want chicken, then put I don't want chicken on your preference sheet or he will make you chicken. But their whole thing is like, did anyone put chicken on their preference sheet? Like that they want chicken? And they're like, no, I would never say I want chicken on my preference sheet. Then say you don't want chicken on your preference sheet. Anyway. Adrian's annoyed, but then he makes some scallops with risotto and then they're happy. They're like, why didn't he just make this to begin with? Because he wanted to make a chicken, bitch. God, dumb bitches, dude. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Okay?
Smart.
And we're back to sing a song about love. So, Tyler, in one of his many background stories that all seem to collide, says that he started his own insurance agency when he was 21 years old in Seattle and crushed it, but didn't want the corporate life. He didn't want to be in a corporate life. He actually wanted to just live a life of adrenaline. But then he's like, Ashton being dragged into the water was not the adrenaline he was hoping for.
What was he hoping for?
I don't know.
Maybe like a ride on top of the Alaskan wilderness that I call Riley.
Bop, 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 bop. Hell yeah. Anyway, Kate is noticing that Laura has made some mistakes in her turndown service, like no water on the nightstand and there's like a towel laying on the floor. And she's skeptical of Laura's chief stew experience. And of course, she voices this and Adrian
she
turns
said,
around.
Have you ever done turn down service in your life?
Well, no, she doesn't tell Laura yet. She tells Adrian this. And then Adrian turns around and tells Laura that she forgot to do some turn down stuff and Kate's annoyed by it. And Laura says she's confused. She's confused and doesn't understand what Kate's deal is since she's been working hard and would like some positive feedback. And Adrian's intense. He's like, as a third stew, you're just supposed to shut your mouth and do the work.
Yeah, tell him about it for a second.
He's like, you're just supposed to shut your mouth and do the work. And he's like, and I'm sorry to be so rude, but that's my feedback for an integration. And she's like, okay. There's an intensity in the way he speaks that, I don't know, he's so weird. Like, he's like, shut your fucking mouth, bitch. And she's like, okay. He's like, sorry, that's just my feedback on integration. You understand, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well said. I don't even have any follow-ups.
Yeah, I know. All right, guys, everyone goes to bed, and it's the next day. Laura wants to do Pilates with the guests, and Kate asks her to wait until she's up, so there's a stew on service. And Kate talks to Laura about the turndown service, and she says she thought they weren't... Laura says her excuse is that she thought they weren't caring. She's like, I thought not caring was the vibe. But Kate's like, well, if you're confused, you can ask me, comma, your chief stew. And Laura's like, yikes. Totes, totes, totes. And then, yeah, so Laura goes and does yoga, Pilates with the guests. And so Captain Lee is going over all the, like, how the toe line should work with Ross to make sure nothing happens again. And he basically says, as soon as the toe line is let loose to, like, create tension, to everyone has to get off that back deck. Basically, like, no one can be on that back deck because he just really doesn't want any more legs getting caught and, you know, almost severed off. And Ross is like, got it.
He wants less of that?
Yes, he wants less chance of death on his boat.
Okay, okay.
You're right. He's out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad.
It's really a sad state of affairs on this boat.
How so?
Because everyone probably misses Caroline.
Okay. Caroline, man. She is a piece of work. So they're headed out again, and Riley is not listening to Ross telling her to get out of the way of the tow lines, and Captain Lee can see on the over the cameras that there's someone down on the swim deck, and he's yelling at Ross to tell them to get off the swim deck, and he's telling her to get off the swim deck, and Riley's being like, give me a second, like she's been a bitch, she's not listening to Ross. Captain Lee's yelling at Ross over the radio. It's just not good. And then Captain Lee calls Ross into the wheelhouse, and Ross tells him it was Riley. And then he calls Riley up as well to bitch them both out and says, like, no one can be on that deck. Okay, queen, no one can be on the swim deck when
the tenderloin
is going out.
That's like the opposite of the rule I have for my own deck.
Which is what?
You got to get on this deck. You know, that's the opposite of not being on the deck. And I regret saying it. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've come a long way with
take
you.
Take me back.
So Ross pulls Riley aside to talk to her, and she complains that she's woken up too late and should have been up earlier, and he's telling her just to listen when he tells her to get out of the way. But of course, they're arguing, and the guests kind of are listening to them bitch at each other, and so they move inside, and they figure out their differences, and they hug it out, and I'm like, oh my God, Riley, tone it down. Like, Ross isn't Chandler. He's not trying to,
and
like...
Joey's not Monica.
Exactly. He's not trying to fuck you over. He's just trying to get you to follow the rules, but you know... She ain't happy.
Yeah.
She's just not happy, which is making, I think, her act out further. But she kind of alienated herself at this point by being, like, mean to people. She's gone beyond, like, opinionated woman to just mean, and it's unnecessary. Like, you don't have to be so mean. Ugh, God, I hate mean people. Anyway,
Kate... Oh, you should get a bumper sticker.
I hate mean people.
Mean people suck.
Mean people suck. So Kate thinks it's annoying that anyone wants to celebrate their birthday because they're not a child, and they have to set up the beach club for the birthday party. And Adrian wants... Oh, God. Adrian's problematic. Sorry to say it. But
so?
Because he makes a cake that kind of looks like a nipple, and he says he was inspired to make a nipple cake by the form of Laura's breast. And he says this to her. And she's like, yeah, Adrian's a great guy, but he only has one thing on his mind. And I agree, he's kind of a creep.
Yeah, he's only got one thing on his mind. Laura having sex with Ashton.
No, he has one thing on his mind, and it's titties. Remember when he offered to massage Kate's breasts?
It's weird because no one reacts negatively to it. Like, if it were someone else, like, say, I don't know, Trevor. it would be like when Trevor was hitting on Sierra. Remember?
Yes.
Trevor got fired. Trevor's a bit of a wild card. And Sierra also sucked. But not then. Anyway, he would say stuff about her breasts. And she's like, that's awful. But when Adrian does it, they seem to find it charming.
Yeah.
And like, even in the ITMs, they talk about it. It's charming. Yeah.
It makes no sense. I don't know. I don't like it. Anyway, so the guests are having lunch.
You love it.
No, I don't. At their birthday party down at the beach club swim platform. And Ashton is up and creeping around. And he tells Laura that he would give her a foot rub. And he says he has planted some seeds in Laura and is hoping they will grow and that they will hook up.
Ew, he got her pregnant without her knowledge?
Yeah, vamp a little. I need to grab some tissues.
Yeah, guys, don't impregnate women, even with their knowledge. So I guess you guys want to talk about how coronavirus is going up? You don't. Do you want to talk about how the MLB season is going to be 60 games and that people have started to drop out? I saw Diamondbacks pitcher dropped out.
Jesus.
And, I don't have high hopes for the NBA either, but certainly not baseball.
All right. God damn it, Nick. So the guests love the nipple cake Adrian made. We learned that Tyler used to be engaged to his high school sweetheart. And we also learned that he's a firefighter back home. And yeah, so he got engaged when he was 21. Okay, so this is confusing. So apparently he also started a insurance agency at 21. That's what he said. But then apparently he also got engaged at 21 and she wanted him to go into construction and he wanted to do fire. Like he wanted to be a firefighter. And it's confusing.
What happened to him being an insurance agent?
Yes, I don't understand. His background is confusing. If anyone knows Tyler who's listening to this, please reach out and tell us what the fuck is going on because we do not know. But anyway, his ex-fiance is now married with kids. So she figured it out. And Riley says that her and her ex-fiance cheated on each other, which is why they broke up. And she also thinks Tyler is a great deckhand.
Oh, here we go.
Winky dinky dink.
Oh, no. They're not going to procreate, are they?
Winky dinky dinky dink.
Wow. Winky dinky do.
Baker, is that you? Winky dinky dink. I'm just trying to fuck you. Winky dinky dinky dink. Comma.
Baker. Yeah, Baker's a real handful.
She's a real handful.
Like bucks and trucks.
No, that's Connie.
Oh, yeah.
Connie's the one that's like trucks.
You ever fucked in a truck, Anna?
No.
What about a car?
No.
Sucks.
I'm not flexible. I'm very stiff. I'm basically a cardboard.
Okay.
I'm a cardboard cut out of a human being.
Okay, this is making me uncomfortable.
Let's take a quick break and I'll tell you more. Okay? You excited?
No.
Okay,
no.
We'll be right back, guys. I'm gonna tell Nick all about my sexual positions. And we're back, Nick. How impressed are you?
Only one position. Wow.
Yes, the cardboard, as I call it. You just lay me flat on the ground.
Yep, and take a running start.
Mm-hmm. A running start. Jesus Christ. All right. So Adrian is figuring out that the guests just want the most expensive dishes, so that's what he's going to give them. And the guests sit down with for dinner, and they're happy with some like lobster inside of a crawdaddy inside of a crab inside of a steak, whatever, expensive stuff.
Yeah, they call that the laddie wrap steak.
Yes, queen. So they're very happy with it. The guests love it. And you know what? Everyone goes to bed.
It's the next day.
It's the next day. You're right.
I knew it. God, I'm so fucking good at this game.
This isn't a game. We're doing a podcast.
Oh, and this goes out. iTunes and such.
Every day.
Well, I assume we have a lot of 5-star reviews then.
Nope. One would argue 0 5-stars.
How? How could you argue that? Because they're mostly five stars.
So Ashton is up and working, and he says he hates being injured and lying on his back. He just doesn't like not working. So he's doing what he can with his injured foot and taking it easy, but also like cleaning and doing all that. And Riley is so happy to see Ashton. She's like, oh my God, welcome back. Yeah. So Riley's also showing Tyler the ropes, and he doesn't mind it because she's hot and sailing is a different beast from motor yachting. So he's a lot to learn so he can be the best Tyler he can be, an insurance agent / firefighter / adrenaline junkie / sailing yacht deckhand. I don't know. So
Riley daddy,
they pull up anchor and they head back to dock, and Josiah, who's worked as a deckhand, helps them drop one of the fenders because they're docking starboard side, which is on the side of the boat. What did I say? Starboard is what I meant to say. Yeah. Sorry. No, starburn. Burn me, baby. So, yes, the guests are leaving. They say they love their experience, even though Ashton almost died on the first day. I mean, they're just like, oh, it was so great. We love the drama. And then they leave.
He didn't die.
They get the fuck out of there. You know what I mean?
You know what I bet the first thing they did when they left? Huh? Ate some fried chicken.
What? Why?
You heard me.
Okay. Tip meeting time. Captain Lee says everyone did a great job, and they end up with a 16K tip. That's decent.
Yeah, it's okay. I know they're rich, though, so they could have given more.
Yeah. What if they just tipped
him? No, it's like, what? You can't give a better tip? What are you, chicken?
And that's why we pay you the big bucks, Nikki Boo.
That's right.
So Ashton makes a speech about how he's so grateful for everyone for helping him and caring for him. And he wants to split up his tip portion and give it to the others. And Captain Lee won't let him because he's like, that's not how we roll, Ashton. You keep that tip because even though you almost died, you deserve it.
He didn't fight very hard.
He's like, okay.
And the captain, he's like, I'd like to give my tip to everyone else. And then Captain's like, well, and then Ashton's like, okay, I'll keep it.
Yeah.
You'll find no more argument from me. It's fine now.
I insist. Actually,
guys, my foot really hurts if y'all want to donate to my foot hurt fund.
No.
But if any of our listeners want to donate to Ashton's foot hurt fund, go to gofundme.ashtonsfoothurtfund. I'm starting it right now.
Foot hurt fund. So after the tip meeting, Captain Lee calls a meeting in the Sky Lounge to talk safety and danger. And he basically wants to show the crew the footage of what happened with Ashton so they understand everything and know true protocol. And he tells them that they need to be screaming man overboard multiple times. As you can see, Riley did not do that. And they need to be more aware of their surroundings and what's going on. And the second someone starts yelling man overboard, we need to know exactly what's happening over the radio. Everyone needs to know what's going on. So everyone's like really shook watching the footage. Ashton's very emotional. Captain Lee's very emotional. Everyone just is like, oh my God. Because it's fucked up.
Wow, I felt like I was really there.
Yeah. and Ashton says that it reminded him what's important in life, and that's working out and babes, dude. And Captain Lee gets very emotional.
GTL.
Gym tan laundry. Yeah, exactly. He's like, I have to go see my boy, the Sitch. Captain Lee gets very emotional.
He's in prison?
Jesus. Sitch. He's like, I have to go visit him at the white collar prison he's in.
It's nicer than my apartment.
I believe Michael, who's the guy, the Trump's lawyer who went to jail?
Michael Corleone.
Michael Cohen. He's in the same prison as the Sitch.
Well, neither of them are there now because Cohen got out early for coronavirus.
Anyway, Captain Lee, he gets very emotional and choked up and calls the meeting after discussing everything and showing them the footage. And then he goes to the wheelhouse to cry and get out his emotions because it was a really, it's really scary. I can't imagine.
Well, you can imagine.
No, I couldn't
imagine. Your parents had coronavirus.
Sure. But I mean, like, I couldn't imagine, like, being on a boat and then one of your crew members dying.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway.
I saw a news story about parents who went hiking with their, like, 20-year-old son and he fell off the mountain. Could you imagine?
What?
You're right there.
That is terrifying and horribly upsetting.
Well, get over it. Next.
That's the end of the episode. Let's do some boat facts with Nikki T.
With Nikki T. Are you familiar with the term scuttling?
No.
Well, scuttling is the deliberate sinking of a ship by allowing water to flow into the hull. This can be achieved in several ways. Seacocks or hatches can be opened to the sea, or holes may be ripped into the hull with brute force or with explosives. Scuttling may be performed to dispose of an abandoned, old, or captured vessel to prevent the vessel from becoming a navigation hazard, as an act of self-destruction to prevent the ship from being captured by an enemy force, or in the case of vessel engaged in illegal activities, by the authorities. As a block ship, to restrict navigation through a channel or within a harbor, to provide artificial reef for divers and marine life, or to alter the flow of rivers. Now, you may be familiar with the USS Merrimack.
Yes, I'm not.
From the Civil War. In April 1861, the U.S. Navy steam frigate USS Merrimack was among several ships Union forces set afire or scuttled at the Gosport Navy Yard. Now the Norfolk Naval Shipyard in Portsmouth, Virginia, to keep them from falling into Confederate hands at the outbreak of the American Civil War. The unsuccessful attempt at scuttling Merrimack enabled the Confederate States Navy to raise and rebuild her as the broadside ironclad CSS Virginia. Mm. Shortly after her famous engagement with the U.S. Navy Monitor, USS Monitor, in the Battle of Hampton Roads in March 1862, the Confederates scuttled Virginia to keep her from being captured by Union forces.
Oof.
Anyway, scuttling. Sinking ships. Now you know. Boat facts.
And the little sides where the holes are also called scuttles, right?
Well, they call them seacocks.
Okay.
Seacocks or hatches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's interesting. I mean, that makes sense. If you need to get out of your enemy's way, you just sink that boat. That's what I do. If I need to get away from an enemy, I sink myself.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Well, you've certainly sunk this podcast.
I hate you. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. That's the end of the episode. It was season 6, episode 11. Tomorrow is 12. Wow! Wowie, wow! Okay, you can follow us at DeckheadsPod on Instagram or Twitter. You can email us at deckheadspod@gmail.com. Check out our merch, baby! Merch at Tee Public. Deckheads has merch at Tee Public. How could you say no? Please pay for some merch so Nick can send his son to boarding school.
Please let my son go to boarding school. I'm ever so bored of raising him myself.
Exactly. Did I say you could email us at deckheads@gmail.com? I'm sure.
Oh, who gives a shit? That's our show, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. I loves ya.
Oh, actually, I want to read a 5-star review we got.
Yay!
We actually got 2. I thought they were funny.
Oh, yeah.
One person is low-key trolling us, but you know what? They gave us 5 stars, so who gives a shit? So here's one review from K. Crowley 1. They're a boat fact, 5 stars, and their boat fact is boats float.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, boats do float. I got to be honest, I knew that. And again, I struggle with this because I really want to shit on it. But then again, I really, really want people to write boat facts. Now, that's not a great boat fact. We're going to be honest with you. I think a lot of people already assume this about boats, but sometimes it's nice just to have a reminder. Boats float, y'all.
Boats float.
Back to you.
And then we also got another 5-star review from Distant Mistress that says, damn. They wrote, if you identify as a yachty and or love laughing, boating, cussing, drinking, more laughing, et cetera, you will love this podcast. If you don't, I'm sure Mitch McConnell has a podcast you will love. Wow. I love that they're coming for our haters and calling them right wing dorks. Woo.
I can't wait to hear Mitch McConnell's podcast.
Yeah, I guess we are those people that she's he or she or they is referencing. So thank you, Distant Mistress and K Crowley One. We appreciate your 5-star reviews. Anyone else can leave a 5-star review just like that. Sometimes with a boat fact. Sometimes you can troll us with a boat fact that we might already know. But you know what? The more you upset Nick, the happier I am. So you guys,
the happier I am too, guys. So we'll see you next week. Bye.
Leave us a 5-star review, and you can follow me. You can follow me at Anna Osnia. Nick is at Nick's Turner.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Check out his Patreon. All right, I'm getting
in
the car.
We'll see you next week.
Nick, get in.
See you next week, guys.
Nick, get in.
Bye, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Deckheads is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.